light is on.
Oh,
welcome
my
to
gosh.
The Night Impossible Podcast.
Welcome to the show.
Dang, man.
I'm pretty good, aren't I?
You're going to join the worship team?
Yes.
I think you should.
Hmm.
Maybe not. Lauren, if you're listening to this.
If you're listening to this, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
See, that was good, wasn't it?
No, that is a whole other level of creepiness that I never want to see.
All right, guys. So sorry about this. Welcome to the podcast. This is Naeem, not Naeem.
What was the name you said? The one?
What was the name?
It's like Saval or something?
Yes, yeah, Saval. It was Naeem Saval.
Naeem Saval. That's your alter ego on this podcast with
Naeem
that voice.
Naeem Saval.
Yeah, this is when you check out a rental car from now on. It's under Naeem. Or what is it?
Naeem?
Naeem Saval.
Naeem Saval. Yeah, the story is, guys, that I was trying to rent a car once and they didn't have Naeem Fazel on the reservation. And so they kept on saying I didn't have a reservation. And then I just asked, who do you have? And they said, Naeem Saval. And I was like, that's me.
I just like to picture like some white dude that just has never heard that name before, just take his best guess and wrote it down. It's like,
let me ask you this. Why does it have to be a white dude?
Because
I'm a white dude.
And I can say that.
You can say that for sure. Well, hey, yes, guys, welcome to the podcast. I do want to start off with this, man. I want to read you guys a text that I got from a friend of mine. And he says, I know podcasts can be tough when you don't get much feedback, so I thought I'd drop you a note to let you know. I've listened to all 11 episodes, and you guys are knocking it out of the park. You have spurred so many good thoughts and ideas for me. Keep up the incredible work, my friend. People are listening. I love you, brother. Man. That's really great, isn't
it? Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
did you type that to yourself?
I did. No, I did not. Naeem Saval did. No, I did not. But I do want to say, if you do get something out of this podcast, mm-hmm. You can definitely let us know, but let people know about this podcast, because you never know the conversations, mm-hmm. good, bad. That might be spurred on because of you sharing these.
Yeah.
So, love for you guys to share. Let people know. Talk about it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
be
let great. Us know too.
Yes.
We like that stuff.
Yes, yes,
feedback
yes.
is like the only way that, you know, you can either move forward or know like
right.
how it's... I mean, because it's just us sitting in here in this room.
Right.
We record some stuff.
Right.
Put it out there and we're like, all right.
Yeah, hope it works. Hope this happens.
So, yeah, we want to hear. We want to hear from you guys. So that's why, honestly, when we say, you know, like, subscribe, comment, all that stuff, it is to, like, help spread the word of the podcast, but it's also to let us know, like, what you guys are thinking
right.
about it.
Yeah. If people really love Jesus, they would do this.
That's very
they
true.
They would share.
That's in the Bible.
Right. It's in the Bible.
It says, somewhere, like,
thou will not go to hellest
if you share the Naeem Fazal.
Yeah. All right, let's get
into
the topic.
Is that?
Right?
Huh? What translation?
I don't know. It's the heathen translation. I'm not quite sure. So let's talk about this idea of reclaiming your life. So we've been in a series conversation at Mosaic Church talking about the idea of reclaiming what is what used to be. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to talk a little bit about it. I know you know you've been a part of this as well. You know about it, but I let me tell you the big thought that really stopped me for a little bit and made me consider my life and evaluate where I am is this idea of or this phrase that says that no condition is permanent. And I thought, man, that's awesome, because as I was journaling, you know, just kind of, that's what I love doing, that is because it's my time to process with Jesus, with myself, with my soul. It's a great tool to write. I mean, I type it out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I just wrote something that was very raw in the moment. And I wrote, I'm not quite sure if I like who I've become.
Mm.
And it just stopped me to consider, hold on, that's a very negative, finite, final, no hopeless statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've all thought that. I just don't like what I've become.
Mm-hmm.
Because it implies that you're not becoming. Mm. And when you consider that no condition is permanent, it gives me fuel and fire to go, hold up, that's okay. Like I'm not going to treat me, and I'm not going to allow myself to criticize me based on where I am right now in my life.
Right.
Because it's moments like those when you go, the right now I don't like. The right now is very hard. The right now is tough. The right now is just awful. The right now just is a funk. The right now. And you go, I just don't like where I am right now. And the truth is you're still moving. Mm-hmm. You're still in progress. You're still in, you're in motion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're literally in motion as we live in this planet. We are in motion. And so to go, no, there's always a chance of worse, but there's always a chance of better.
Yeah.
Because no condition is permanent.
Yeah.
You know, and so as you begin to live that kind of life, I wonder, for the sake of this conversation, what is something that we need to reclaim? You know, what do we need to go back to? What passion, desire, dream, goal, vision, what a fire that once burned bright, you know?
So you're saying you kind of like, when you get to that point where you're like, not I don't like who I've become, but I don't like who I'm becoming, there's a moment where you say, okay, well then what do I need to reclaim?
Right.
So that's where you...
That's it. Because the idea of like, I don't like who I'm becoming, now that is really the statement, the question that you need to wrestle to the ground. Because we're all becoming something. Less of and more of. So who are we becoming?
Right.
And in every category. As a coworker, leader, boss, friend, spouse, sibling,
mm-hmm.
parent, we're all becoming follower of Jesus. We're all becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you truly becoming? And what do you do? And you know what I love about Jesus as in terms of you know, following him and love about what God has shown us through Jesus is that he is so is aware of this idea that we're all becoming and not just we've become,
mm-hmm.
that the amount of grace that God gives us, and in terms of time, just sheer time, that he'll wait for us to come back around.
Yeah.
Like he'll wait for us. And if you listen, or if you watch just this, how stories unfold in the scriptures of people, I mean, God just waits for people. And waiting for 40 years is not a big deal to God.
Mm-hmm.
Like 40 years. Waiting 70 years is not a thing.
Yeah.
And that's a lifetime to us.
Yeah. So long.
So long. But yet God says, but I know what they're becoming, mm-hmm. and they're going to turn around here.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
It is. So, you know, we've been talking about this at Mosaic.
Yeah.
And this last week, you shared a couple things that I think really stood out. But, like, what is one of the like... I guess, what is your like big picture? What is your goal for, if you've identified, you know, hey, this is what I need to reclaim. This is why I don't like who I'm becoming. What would like the takeaway be as far as how do I start? Like, how do I start reclaiming? I've already identified what I need to reclaim, but what's something that I can do to take a step? Because it's hard, I think, to reclaim something and there's been times in my life where I notice what I need to reclaim, but I notice that there's a lot of steps I need to make before I can actually start reclaiming in a positive way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like there's like almost things that I need to like tear down first, mm-hmm. before I can like start rebuilding.
Right.
And so if you find yourself there, I was having a conversation with someone. Yeah. And they're like, I just feel like I feel like I'm stuck. And that's, I think, why this question even popped up in my head to ask you. It's because I was talking to someone and they were like, I feel like I know what I need to reclaim, but I don't know how to start. And I don't know how to get there.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, the conversation at Mosaic is around, we've been using Gideon, this guy who lived a long time ago, about 1,100 years before Jesus' time, Jewish guy, and God used him to kind of save his people, like to reclaim their freedom from a certain tribe, the Midianites. And so God did some pretty cool things through him. But he started with, like, to answer your question, he started with this idea of really changing his name. Like, and not that he told Gideon, okay, now you will be called such and such. Mm-hmm. But his name, Gideon, actually means like a miner or a worker or just like a hustler. In one, if I could, if you could have some liberty on that, it's just the idea of like, you know, he does work, you know, he does that. He grinds stuff, you know, and he makes it happen. Jerubbaal is translated to one who contends with Baal. Like, Baal was one of the gods there. Mm-hmm. So basically what God says is the first thing you need to do to reclaim is to tear down like a god that's in your life. Like, tear down the sacred cow, tear down the thing. And so you got to move from the hustler mentality to the contender. His name changed to the one who contends with the gods, you know, in a sense. You know, Baal was one of the gods. So it's like this, the whole mind shift changes. So I think what needs to happen is the first thing you have to do to reclaim is to decide, what am I no longer going to do? Like, that's the hard part, right? Honestly. And that's where most of us don't want to do the work. Yeah. Like, we rather, like, and I'm in that boat. I would rather add things to my life than subtract them. Mm-hmm. Like if I want to, like, if there's a fitness goal, what do I need to do more of? Mm-hmm. But don't tell me I can't eat this, like, less of this. Like, if there is this quality of life, okay, yeah, okay, just tell me, what do I need to do more of?
What podcast do I need to listen to? What book do I need to read?
What do I need? But don't tell me I can't watch reruns of The Office again. Yeah. Like, no, I just don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And, have you heard the term abstinence?
Abstinence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you think of that word, what do you think of? In what context?
Sex.
Exactly. Sex, right? So but there is a self-abstinence idea out there where you begin to go, the word there actually means to refrain from, or to basically intentionally not do something, right?
Right.
And training yourself to not do something. Like, training yourself to say no to something. So the problem is that reclaiming, the first step is the hardest step. It's the training yourself. It's the act of saying no to this. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer going to think, act, react, eat, behave. I'm no longer going to believe this. I'm no longer going to engage. I'm no longer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's self-abstinence. It's like you go, I'm going to refrain. So before we reclaim, you kind of have to, I hate rhyming this thing, but it.
Mixtape dropping soon. The names of all.
Yes. 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 No. You got to refrain from stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right there.
Because I know several times in my life where I've identified what I need to refrain from, but.
I know.
Dude, when it comes down to it, I'm like, well, next time. The good thing is I know I need to refrain from this. Right. I don't actually have to refrain.
Right.
Like, you start playing like games in your mind and. It gets tough.
And you know what it is like, so, you know, when we have this conversation of reclaiming something, what that implies is that you're at a state right now that you don't really necessarily like, and you want to go back to a state. Like, you don't feel that good. I know that's general, but spiritually, physically, psychologically, you're not in a good space. Right? You're not in a good place.
Yeah.
Okay. Now in reference to the show, The Good Place. but so you're not in a good place. So you go, okay, how did you get here? Well, you got here because you did a lot of things that felt good in the front end.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back end, they got you in a bad place.
Mm.
Versus you do things on the front end that seem like bad things because you know, it's like bad as in like hard things,
mm-hmm.
but they lead you to a good place.
Right.
So it's like, I think it's like, honestly, it's like carbs. Okay, let me forget carbs. Bread. I'll just tell you, bread. A Middle Eastern love bread.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last year,
rarely eat bread, right?
I rarely eat bread. So bread, as I'm eating it, and as it's going down,
mm-hmm.
I love it. Love the feeling. Oh, my gosh. Like, my mom makes like these handmade rotis and the parathas. And
then you got what that could possibly be.
It's all,
but it sounds great just because
it's what the gods eat.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It's the naans and the khubz, which is the Arab word for bread. Anyways, amazing.
Dang.
Amazing. Eating it, amazing. It goes on. Now, an hour later, my body is like, what?
What did you do?
In the hubs, did you do to your body? Flip side, eating stuff that's good for you
mm-hmm.
doesn't feel good. I mean, it's not yummy sometimes, but then it leaves you in a really great place.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think...
But here's something that I think people struggle with too.
Okay.
And it may be something that I've struggled with.
Maybe okay, maybe it's just you.
Myself. But like, I'm the guy who, I'm like, well, I'm going to eat the bread and I'm also not going to feel bad because...
How are you not going to feel bad?
Well, I'm just saying, I probably will.
You will feel
but
bad.
But my mindset is, maybe not this time.
Oh.
I think I'll eat the bread and be fine.
Right.
I don't want to be the guy that doesn't eat the bread.
Yeah.
And then wonders... Could I have ate the bread?
So I know. I mean,
does that make sense?
It makes little to no sense. But no. But I do
don't
understand
miss out
that.
On something that I know I shouldn't do.
You want to? Okay.
Because I don't want to wander later.
Right.
But so, I know that I'm going to be there.
I get it. Now here's what's funny. And before we started the podcast, you're like, "Hey, this Enneagram stuff. I am so not a seven. I'm so not a seven. I'm a nine." You said. Okay, what is the one thing about sevens? The fear of missing out.
Yeah, FOMO.
FOMO. They live for that. They're, and you just said, you said what a seven would say.
I know.
Okay.
I'm struggling with my Enneagram.
Yeah, you're like, I'm missing out on the carbs, so I don't. Okay. But for me, I know I'm going to end up in a bad place because for me, carbs translates to weight gain. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know about other people, but... For me, it does. But I think when it comes to reclaiming the things that were the patterns of life, the schedule of our life, the things we are doing, yes, we can add on all the good things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't stop all the bad things, it's going to be really tough to reclaim.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough. And just the sheer idea of reclaiming something, for example, like wood.
Right.
I mean, can you... It means stripping away
mm-hmm.
some things.
Yeah.
Not adding to.
Right.
Like you start with stripping.
Yeah. I mean, when you find it.
I mean,
like
that's
an
a bad
recipe. You do not start with stripping unless.
No, unless.
But yeah, you find like a dresser on the side of the road and you want to refurbish it,
right.
or reclaim it. You don't just, I think we've talked about this idea. You don't just slap paint on it.
No.
You can, but it's going to temporarily fix it.
Right. You start with get removing. So I think that is the question for all of us, mm-hmm. you know? And for going back to Gideon, it was the sacred cow thing, you know? Because the first thing God told him to do was, hey, so I want you to save all these people, but here's what you need to do. You need to go and tear down this idol. Like, I don't even know why, you know, right. But it was like this. This is taking the affection, the attention, the devotion, the worship of all these Jewish people. Tear this down first. Then we'll, you know, which is so strange because you would think, you go, okay, let's save these people from the suppressing tribe. And then once we have taken over, we'll take care of all the stuff that they have brought to us. Mm-hmm. But he goes, no, first of all, tear down that sacred cow. First, tear down the thing that is taking away the tension. So for me, I would say, I got to look at my life and go, okay, so in this area of my life, physically, or in this area of my life, socially, or this area of my life, psychologically or emotionally, what is that sacred cow? What is that one thing that gets all my attention? Mm-hmm. Subconsciously even.
Yeah.
What is that thing that takes away?
Yeah.
And then you go, I got to slow that down, or I got to stop that or reduce that. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, it's not a don't ever do that again. It's
right.
It's more of a, hey, you got to stop something. So for me,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about my painting.
Yeah.
You know? I've always thought I was going to be an artist, but that didn't happen. And then I just recently got back into painting. But the process of getting back into painting has been tough for me because it started off with me like setting up a place in my house. And for 6 months, I didn't do anything but stare at it. Like, I didn't want to look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at it, but I was like, ah. And then I bought some paint, and then I bought some brushes. But they just literally just were there. And you understand this as an artist.
Yeah.
And it's so scary. It's like, I'm like, I'm not good at this. I can't do this.
I've had a painting sit on an easel for 2 years.
Wow.
And just stare at it and just want so bad. I've started it.
Right.
Walked away from it, and 2 years went by one time between picking up the brush again and I get it, man.
It
turned out to be one of my pieces that I've been most proud of. When I finally overcame that, and so
I had a moment like that where I was like, I finally got into it, and it was true. I mean, I went in and I started painting, drawing something, and it was like, ugh, you know, and I'm like, you know, I've lost it. I've lost it. I'm no longer any good, or I wasn't even good, or whatever. And then I remember I was sitting watching TV, or you know, watching a show on Netflix or something. I was like, I wasn't watching The Office. I don't think that this would have happened if I was watching The Office, because I had a moment of like, this is so dumb, and I'm wasting my life here.
Like, you're saying you had this when you were.
I was watching a show. I was watching a show.
Okay,
and I was like, this is so dumb show. This is such a dumb show. What am I doing?
Yeah.
But I was like, I just don't. Like, but it's easy. See, it's easy. And I'm like, I want to be the guy who paints. Mm-hmm. But I also want to be the guy who just
chills.
Just chills. So I'm like, okay. And then I thought, I'm going to get up and I'm going to force myself to go and sit and start painting something. Hmm. Even though, I was not in the mood for it, but I was like, I need to stop this. Mm-hmm. I have to stop this first.
Yeah.
I gotta break away from this. So I went and I don't even know if I started painting, because I was like, I'm just gonna move and organize. I don't need something.
I
anything
have done
to
that
paint.
So many times.
Right. Anything. And I was like, you know, I'll do it. And bottom line is, I start on this painting, I repaint it over and over and over and over, and an hour later, I look back at it, and it's my dad who passed away like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was, you see the painting.
Yeah.
It's been online.
I've seen like two pictures of your dad, like blurry photos.
Yeah.
And when you showed me that picture, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And you know what's profound about that for me personally is because when I started early on wanting to paint and draw, I was always intrigued by faces. I always wanted to capture people's emotions and just tell a story with just a face and eyes and all that. And so my mom and my dad, in fact, discouraged me. Mm. Like, they were like, you know, don't draw faces. Because in the Pakistani Muslim culture that I grew up in, it's like a bad omen.
Yeah.
Like, they basically say that you capture someone's soul and it's not good. Mm. Because then it puts a puts a hex on them or something crazy. And I didn't really care about it. I tried other painting birds and goofy things, and I'm like, I just don't like this. And I just like the human, you know, presence, body, all that. So I, so anyways, I just continued. Anyways, I sent the picture to my mom, and I'm like, I wonder what she's gonna think, because I started showing it around, and my siblings were like, oh my gosh, that's dad.
Yeah.
So she sees it, calls me, and she goes, she was excited. She was like,
really?
She said, you captured his soul.
Oh man.
In a good way.
Wow.
Dude, and I was like,
for her to say that?
I know.
Dang. I probably would have cried.
Oh man.
Did you cry a little bit?
I didn't cry. I just, it was so freaky. And, wow. And the lesson in this kind of taught me is like, you never know what's on the other side of your no.
Man.
Like, what's the, I know we've talked about it, but what's the other side of the yes? Right. But what's another side of the no? Like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get up and do the things that's so hard and I'm not really good at, because who's not good at sitting there and watching TV, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to try this and then get surprised.
Yeah. And that just spoke to me too, because, you know, you talk about the whole FOMO thing.
Yeah.
Like, I do have like the FOMO of missing out on something that could be fun initially.
Yeah.
But there have been so many times where if I can discipline myself in that moment, I'm like, man, I couldn't imagine having, like, you won't even know the FOMO.
Right.
Unless you discipline yourself. Because right. Then once you discipline yourself and you come out on the other side, you know, feeling great about what it led to or who you are becoming.
Right.
Then you can have a new level of FOMO, because it's like, man, I couldn't imagine not having this.
Right.
Do you know, does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah. Totally makes sense. I think that, and that's the, that is the, I guess the encouragement, the hope, the motivation. Like if you and I are looking around and going, you know, I don't like who I've become. Number one, that's not true. It's not a true statement.
You haven't fully become anything.
You haven't, yeah. You're becoming. So because you're in motion, you know, you can change.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn.
You did a painting recently where you did not like the front of it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You literally turned it around and painted on the back of it.
That's true, yeah.
You loved it, right?
Yeah.
It turned out really great.
Yeah, and you know what? That literally took me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like I was on my way, I was waiting for my son to get ready to take him somewhere, and I was like, I just don't like this. Let me just scribble. Yeah. Like, what?
Yep.
And it's actually decent. I mean, it's, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, man. So anyways, so I guess what's the lesson in this?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of lessons in this.
No, don't eat bread.
Don't eat bread.
What else? Don't strip.
Don't strip.
Yeah. What else?
Catch your mixtape dropping soon.
Yes. By Neem Saval. Yeah.
I can never remember that name.
But I think, no, the big thing is like, what's the other side of your no? Like, what lies on the other side of the no, you know?
Yeah.
And so, reclaiming starts with refraining.
I'm not going to say that.
Okay, don't say that.
Make a t-shirt. Yeah. But no, I think that's great, man. It's definitely... That's a great first step, because it's such a tendency to just add.
Yeah.
To add, you know, everything in the world. I mean, it literally ads pop up on your feed. And they're like, you need this. And it's just like, yeah, I do need that. But sometimes.
It's all about,
you know.
Stopping. The other direction. Yeah.
So that's great.
Well, cool. Guys, thanks so much for this. Vinny, it's always fun with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, if you guys please share, subscribe, all that good stuff, and take a listen. And definitely hit us up.
Yeah.
Give us some feedback. Love to do that. And they can do that on Instagram, correct?
You can message us on Instagram at Naeem Fazel or at Vinny.Candelore.
Yes.
Tag us in some posts. We just want to interact with you guys.
Yes, please.
Let us know. You can always text us if you have our number. Let us know that you listen to the podcast, all that stuff. We love to hear from you guys. So,
yes.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Cool. Later.
Have a good week. See you guys.